Brother Ralph, you remember a few years ago there on their 50th wedding anniversary trip, they came here and were with you on that Sunday. And he talked and talked about how kind you all were to him that day that they came by to be with you. And I appreciate the blessings of the Lord that are upon us. And it's sure been different for us. I mentioned there the other day, my dad came to the church at Richlands in 1948. Brother Wilson fasted and prayed for his healing. He had trench mouth. And my dad was pastoring a church over in Russell County, in the next county over from us, where dad was born and raised. And he had gone in there in that community where the bars were, where he used to drink and fight at. And he was running over 300 in Sunday school, sold his milk cow to start raising the money and built the church there in Swords Creek. And of course, Brother Wilson, that he, dad was there with them when they started the camp meeting in 1939. Brother Wilson came and told dad, he said, the Lord is through with me. He's told me he would heal me when I left Richlands and to get you to come pastor the tabernacle. They had a huge unfinished building, no floor, no ceiling. Brother Wilson had 12 people. Dad said, why in the world do I want to go to Richlands? 12 people, and I've got over 300 in Sunday school in my church over in Russell County. And he said, that's between you and God. Amen. So, Dad came in 1948. I was born in 1951. Brother Ralph got saved in 1960 and started helping Dad. There's 11 children in our family, by the way, 6 boys and 5 girls. I'm the youngest boy. I got saved in 1969, and I started helping there. And we've had a Christian school there 38 years now, and I've been there all those years. And I appreciate his goodness to us. And I have a heavy burden on my heart this morning. And I'll say this. I thank you all so much that you're an easy people to preach to. And I love your worship. I love your singing. So, and I thank you. And that at dessert bar that y'all had yesterday, Lord have mercy, almost caused me to sin. You know, they had those little bitty plates. I went back in there and got me a plate. And so I just, brother, I made me a sampler platter. I just got a little bit of, and I was almost sick when I got back to the motel. Amen. I want to talk to you. There was a man watching an old farmer plow with a mule. And he watched him as he struggled, pulling and jerking on those reins, back and forth, never saying, making a sound, just pulling and jerking on those reins on that mule. He watched him plow down one way and back the other, jerking and pulling, working himself into a lather. And when he came down to the end of the field, our brother Tommy, at the last, the man motioned at him. He said, sir, he said, can I speak to you just a second? He said, you know, if you talk to that mule, there's just 4 simple commands that save you a lot of jerking and pulling on the reins. He said, if you'll just say, gee, and haw, and get up, and whoa. He said, that mule will work a whole lot better. And that guy pulled out his big old bandana and wiped his face. And he said, I know that. I know that very well. But he said, you see that mule there? He kicked me 6 years ago. And he said, I haven't spoken to him since. I want to tell you something. You think you're punishing the mule, but you're the one that's on the short end of the stick. You're the man that's the loser. You're the man that's the loser. And that being said, I want to read my text to you. I want to talk to you about some very serious things. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 15. If you want to stand for the reading of the word, it's okay with me. 2 Samuel 16, 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? I want you to get that statement. Is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and his people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? And as I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. 1 Chronicles 27:33. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor. And Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. Ahithophel was the king's counselor. And Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. Bow your heads and let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy to us, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, my Father. Please touch us and help us. Please touch us and help us. Oh, God. Oh, God. Touch us, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us, Lord. Oh, God.
Thank you for what you're doing
here. This is one of the saddest settings of Scripture in the Bible, in that David's son, Absalom, is trying to steal the crown from his father. And he is causing a civil war and a rebellion against his father. And the sad thing about it is his father's lawyer, his father's counselor, his father's friend, his father's great, great friend, Ahithophel. Ahithophel is such a man of renown that whatever Ahithophel said, it was just like God spoke it. It was like the oracle. You understand when you go to the oracle. Y'all very familiar with L.D. Moore, but L.D. Moore was the oracle to me and our family and our church. There were times in our life that we would not have made it had it not been for Brother Moore. When I'd get those little 3x5 cards from Brother Moore, and when you get those phone calls from Brother Moore, I could tell you there was one particular time that Brother Moore came in, and when I walked in the room, when I work, I like to work in bibbed overalls, okay? And Brother Moore, he said, I've been on this tour, and he said, the Lord showed me a man in bibbed overalls before I left Oklahoma. I've been looking for you this whole journey. Amen. So there's those times that God sends those ones to save us and to help us. And in history, I, of course, you understand I was a history major, so I love those stories in history. But Alexander Hamilton was our first Secretary of State. And he devised the deal there for us to pay off our debt from the war. He encouraged industrialization. He was the leader in our westward expansion. He started the National Bank. I mean, you go through all of those things that he did. He was such a man of renown, and he died at 49 years old. And he would have probably been president of the United States. But he would not have survived during the American Revolution. There's a place that that was called Long Island and Manhattan Island. And he was trapped. He was a captain, and he was trapped there. The British had him surrounded, he and his men there in Lower Manhattan, where our World Trade Center was. He was trapped there in Lower Manhattan. And the order was given from his captain, Colonel Henry Knox, who was over him. You men fight to the death. And so they were prepared to do that. And all of a sudden, in the night, there came a horseman riding through. And it was a young major, and he said, "You're trapped here, but I have watched closely, and there is one way out, and follow me, and I'll lead you out." So there was a driving storm and a rain, and this young major led him out and brought him all the way to Upper Manhattan, to the Upper West Side there, and got them out. By daybreak, they were through that storm. They escaped. Amazing escape. That major led him out. They became great companions and friends. They became great companions and friends. Till one day, Alexander Hamilton was Secretary of the Treasury. This other man, his grandpa, was a preacher who led the Great Awakening. He was a U.S. Senator, and he wanted to be President of the United States. But it come down to a vote there in the Senate one day, and Alexander Hamilton voted against Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr was the man who saved him. He was that major who saved him that day. And now Aaron Burr has turned against him and has challenged him to a duel. And at 49 years old, he shoots Alexander Hamilton in a duel. These men have been long-time friends, long-time companions. "I was your savior, and now I'm the man who is going to kill you." Oh, Lord, have mercy. There is a devil that will put a seed in your heart to destroy you. And when we look at that name, Ahithophel, you look at his name. I went through and there are things in our lives that we need to recognize the importance of that person who is our Savior and friend. It was a little girl, 3 years old, and she was with her little 2-year-old friend there in France. And the little boy got into the swimming pool, and he was drowning, 2 years old. And so she jumped in and pulled him up by the hair of the head and was holding him up by the hair of the head. They gave her a great reward because she saved that little boy's life. And she was the youngest person to ever receive this reward because she saved the life of a 2-year-old. A 3-year-old saved a 2-year-old's life. And they gave her that award, and she said, "It's really bad though for me." She said, "Because he doesn't like me anymore. Because he said it hurt him when I pulled his hair." Oh man, I'm telling you what, if we're not careful, we're going to get offended at the thing that is saving us. You hear me? If we're not careful, we'll get offended at the thing that is saving us and pulling us out. And so Ahithophel, this great man who was as the oracle of God. You know what his name, have you ever run a study on his name? It means brother of foolishness, brother of insipidity or impiety. That impiety refers to that lack of reverence for God and sacred things. It's a lack of respect. And here, this man is leading as Absalom could not rebel against his father had he not had the assistance of Ahithophel. And they say, why in the world would this man who was David's counselor, you understand, he is the chief legal counsel for David. He is the chief spiritual advisor for David for all of these years. Now, 30, 40 years he has been that man to David. And now all of a sudden he is helping David's son to rebel against his father. Why would he do that? I did a search there on the, and it's Wilkerson's personal names of the Bible. And Wilkerson said this. He said, you know, his name is such a contradictory name because here he is, his name means brother of foolishness, and yet he's the greatest, wisest counselor, wisest man in all the land. And now, when you look at that, his name is so contradictory, and so they name him as a child. And so they said, well, there are cases of many children who were not very, you know, could not progress as a child, but later on in life, they really became something. Albert Einstein was one of them. He could not learn to, he was, I think, like 5 years old before he learned to walk. He was 9 years old before he could learn to read. And yet he became that great mathematician, Albert Einstein. But whatever the reason was that they named him Ahithophel, whatever it was, but and what happened to him? He's now an old man. Both of these are old men. I want to tell you something. My burden here is probably for an older person today. It's not how you begin the race, it's how you end the race. It's how you end the race. After you've served God and you followed God for all those years, and now you come down to the end of the race and something begins to happen. Man, well, you know, they go through, you know, was it avarice? What was it that led him to the place that he would rebel against David? But Wilkinson, I think, really touched on the thing there. If you'll look at the scripture, I'll show you. The Bible said there, in, you know, as the counsel of Ahithophel, you know, when he counseled, it was like God was speaking. But if you will also look, the Bible tells us, it gives the list of the mighty men of David, and it lists this man there in that scripture. It lists the man who was a Golanite, the son of Ahithophel. So Ahithophel's son was one of David's mighty men. And if you'll also look in the scripture and see his name, you will find out that he was Bathsheba's father. And so the deal was, I won't take the time to read the scripture, but Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. And there that friend, he got upset with David because he felt like that David had brought a disgrace upon his family. And so the enemy began to sow that bitterness and anger in him. And the scripture said in Psalm 55:21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Oh, I want you to realize that the enemy planted that seed in Ahithophel's heart, and it began to grow and grow and grow, and he nurtured it, and it matured to the point that war was in his heart. My Lord, my Lord. The Bible said in Psalm 140 and 1 to the chief musician, a psalm of David, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart." I want to tell you, imagination is the largest nation in the world. And the enemy will put those evil thoughts into your heart. And he will sow those seeds in your mind. And he will, you understand, back years ago, there was a comedian called Flip Wilson. And he'd come out and gyrate. And he'd do something wrong. And he'd say, "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it." And it popularized all across America. "The devil made me do it." I want to tell you something. The devil can't make you do anything. He has no power and authority over the child of God. He has no power or authority over anyone. But he is the master of deception. And he is the master of getting you to do evil. He cannot get you to do anything. He cannot make you to do anything, but he can put it in your heart for you to do it. Eve, there he works on her. And he had no ability in any form or fashion to make Eve to sin. But he put it in her heart, and she had to do the acting on it. She had to be the one who did the sinning. Oh, and there it is. There it is. The enemy has begun to work on the heart of Ahithophel. He's an older man now. He feels that older, those things that are happening to him. He's not able to function and do like he used to. And the enemy is there to speak to him. Why would your friend do you like that? Why would your closest companion and friend treat you like this? Why? You have served David. You have served him. You have followed him. You have done all of this for him. And he has done this to you? Oh, amen. And so I preach a message at home. And they remind me of it. There was in European history, there was a war of Jenkins' ear. Y'all ever heard of that war? Go back and study about it. But I preach a message on the war between the ears. There's a war going on between your ears. It's a mind war. It's a mind battle. It's the enemy to attack. It's the enemy to work on you. It's the enemy to deceive you. And he began to work on Ahithophel. And he worked overtime on Ahithophel. And his words were smooth as butter and honey. I mean, they were so sweet. But inside him, war was in his heart. War was in his heart. War was in his heart. Oh, I'm telling you, brother, please go. That war that the devil wants to put in your heart. Don't allow that wickedness and that evil that the enemy would like to put in your heart.
Yes, he would.
Amen. My Lord, Ahithophel. Amen. Lord. Amen. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Golanite, the mighty man. I've served David. My son has been one of the greatest soldiers. And yet David takes Eliam's daughter and does this to her. Oh, I cannot believe that my friend has done me like this. But But you know, when he gets through, I could go through those scriptures. I don't think I should preach very long. But let me tell you, the devil doesn't put much value on the lives and souls. And he'll get you to do something, and not you'll not realize the repercussions that will follow throughout your entire family. And Ahithophel now he is ready to help Absalom against his own father. But he does not, the devil does not show him that you're going to be the loser. You are the loser. And the entire nation is going to suffer and be hurt because of your choice and your decision. My Lord, look at this. Look at this. Look at what is happening. The Bible records that Ahithophel, the only suicide recorded in the Old Testament, other than those that were in battle. You remember from the setting there in Saul's men? But this is the only recorded suicide in the Old Testament. The wisest man, the man who was as the oracle of God, the man who spoke those things and it was exactly as it should be, and now he comes down and he goes home and he puts his house in order and he hangs himself. Surely Ahithophel would not commit suicide. Surely the smartest man in the nation, surely the man who has the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost uses, surely he would never commit suicide. He is the Old Testament type of Judas Iscariot. Because the New Testament only records one suicide also. And it was Judas Iscariot. David said, my familiar friend, my companion, we ate bread together. My friend has forsaken me. He has lifted up his heel against me. My friend, my best friend, my best friend has now become mine enemy. Oh Lord. And so Judas Iscariot, he was with Jesus. He was the most trusted. Do you make the treasure of your church or your organization, you look out the most competent, the most trusted person to put in charge. We say a lot about Judas Iscariot, but I want to tell you something. He had an absolutely impeccable, stellar record up until that time that he betrayed Jesus. Just like Aaron Burr. He was the grandson, of that great man who preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. Oh, he was the grandson. Oh, Jonathan Edwards. He was his family. You go back and look through at his family. The greatest and the best people in New England ever lived was the family of Aaron Burr. But what happened to Aaron Burr? What happened to Aaron Burr that he would kill Alexander Hamilton? What happened? What happened to him? What happened to Ahithophel that he would betray David? What happened to Judas Iscariot that he would get to the point that he would betray Jesus Christ? There were two families in Cairo, Egypt, that shared a well. And they needed some, the pump tore up. And they needed some repairs. And they got into an argument over who's going to pay the bill to repair the pump. The argument progressed to guns were pulled. And time the dust settled, there were 9 people in each family that were killed. 18 people. And the most ironic thing about it all was it only costed 55 cents to repair the pump. My Lord, 18 people. That comes out to 3 cents a soul. I want to tell you, people allow the devil to get in their heart mighty cheaply. Mighty cheaply. Hallelujah. Help me here. Oh, did you hear what I said? 55 cents. 3 cents apiece. 18 souls went out into eternity.
Keep on preaching. Let me get you the handheld. Hang on.
Amen. One man, he thought he was going to die. He thought he was going to die. And he called that the man in that he had the grudge against and the envy against. He called him in and he said, I want you to forgive me. Amen. I want this thing fixed. I'm going to die. And then the man got ready to leave the room and he said, but remember one thing. If I get better, it's back on. The grudge is back on. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, friend, I want you to guard your heart. I want you to guard your heart. My Lord, I want you to guard your heart above everything. There, when you are alone, when you are there, it's your a time when the enemy will come in and he will speak to you and he will tell you the thing that will eat on you. Why? Why would David do you like this? Why would David bring such embarrassment upon your family? Your son is one of the mighty men. Your son has served David. You have served David. And now he has done this to Bathsheba. He has caused, I think, I want you to look. Oh, her husband, he was his favorite grandson-in-law. Oh, you understand. Lord Uriah the Hittite, he was such a special man to Ahithophel. He loved him so dearly. And how could my best friend cause my favorite grandson-in-law to die? Oh. But let me tell you one thing. Evil will take care of evil. I said evil will take care of evil. Evil will judge evil. God doesn't need you to rise up in rebellion to judge the evil. Amen. I said, did you hear what I said? God does not need you to rise up to judge the evil that is amongst us. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it in his own time, Brother Young. He'll take care of it. There is no doubt that God will take care of it. And he doesn't need our help. Oh, God. Oh, Father. Please. I think I'll quit. Amen. I have so much more here, but I think it would be counterproductive for me to go any farther. Amen. Stand with me, please. Amen. The issue is your heart. The issue is your heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart. Ahithophel. I want to tell you something. There are none of us that can equal Ahithophel in our ability. There's not a person in this building that can equal Ahithophel in his ability here. And if Ahithophel fell and committed suicide, there's a devil that like to get you to fall. You may not commit physical suicide, but you can commit spiritual suicide. I said you will commit spiritual suicide. You understand? For weeks now I've been 28 days at the hospital taking vancomycin. You understand, any of you medical people understand, they call it the big gun antibiotic. I went 28 days to the hospital and took 2,000 to 2,500 units a day of vancomycin. Go up on the fifth floor of the hospital, go in, hook me up. I had a PICC line in my arm. I was in the hospital three times and, you know, and had the surgery and all that. It looked like I was going to lose my foot. It looked like worlds without end. I was going to lose my foot. Amen. But oh Lord, God had mercy on me. And you called me and asked me about coming. And I felt I wanted to come. But then I had that thing about coming. And when I came here the other night, I told my wife, I said, I don't know what in the world I'm doing here. If I could turn around and drive back home, I'd do it right now. Amen. But oh, I see that the Lord has dealt and He has spoken. And I've spoken to you about the end times, but I need to speak to you right now about your soul. It's not so much as what's going to happen in the end times. The thing important is what's happening in your heart today. What is happening in your mind right now. What is happening in your soul. The enemy would like to take you down and destroy you before you can ever get to the end of the end times. And so He spoke this message to me before I left home. War was in his heart. War was in his heart. War was in Ahithophel's heart. The devil put war in his heart against his own companion, against his best friend. Oh, please. Please, I beg you today, I beg you, beware, beware, beware of division, beware of what the enemy will do, beware of those thoughts, beware of those feelings. Whatever you have to do to get rid of those feelings, get rid of them. Get rid of them, get rid of them, get rid of them. Oh, Ahithophel, Ahithophel, the great counselor, the oracle of God. It is just as if God Himself spoke. And now we see Him hanging. We see Him hanging in disgrace. And He's forever a name of disgrace. Aaron Burr's family. Aaron Burr's family. And forever in American history, Aaron Burr is a name of disgrace and dishonor. Oh, oh. And the greatest name of disgrace on the face of the earth is the name Judas Iscariot, who betrayed his friend. Oh, please, I beg you today, let the Lord help you. Let the Lord give you victory over those feelings. Let the Lord help you. Was Ahithophel in the first stages of Alzheimer's or dementia? What was happening? What was happening? I'll never forget as my father aged. One day I came into his house early one morning and he said, "Have you read the paper today?" And I said, "No." He said, "I want you to read this." And he set me down and set the newspaper in front of me. Amen. My dad had preached. He preached, they estimate, 4,000 funerals. He pastored 3 and 4 churches at a time. My Lord,
all across, and he worked in the coal mines all of that time. Oh, how he worked and labored. But you understand, and there was an article about black lung and emphysema, that Dad had silicosis, black lung, emphysema, all of that from working in the mines and preaching so hard. He would come at Christmas time. I grew up in his home. I know at Christmas time we would sit down and he would count on his hands the number of nights that he had not been in church that year. Amen. Preach. You understand? Over 355 nights a year and worked and worked. Amen. Lord, I've been with him so many times when mother would pack his suit in a brown paper bag, grocery bag, and we'd go out to work, building, working those mines and stuff. The hardest work that a human being could do. And Dad would quit, go down to the branch of the head of the way. We were miles from any houses. He'd take a bath in ice cold mountain water and go preach a funeral and come back. But he said, when I got through reading the article, he said, "What do you think about that, son?" I said, "I don't know, Dad. What do you think?" And he said, "It describes my case to the T." Wow. The article described that their brain cells died and that there was a lot of times change in their personality. Wow. And that the things began to happen to them that they were not completely able to do. And he said, in that article, it said they will become abusive toward the people that they love the most. And I saw in my father, and I saw the things that begin to happen to him. Oh, Lord, I want to tell you, the devil is a vicious enemy. And when you are sick and old, when you have less capacity, the enemy will take advantage of you. When you are on medication, the devil will take advantage of you. The devil plays dirty. He's a wicked, wicked devil. And don't allow the devil to put war in your heart. Don't let the devil put war in your soul. He'll do it. He'd do it. Because he wants another Ahithophel. He wants another Judas Iscariot to be added to his bill. Oh God. Bow your heads for prayer, please. I wish you would let the Holy Ghost move in this service right now. Our Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you spoke these words to us. War in his heart. War, it was in Ahithophel's heart. War was put there by the devil. The enemy took advantage of this great man. And there, he did that unspeakable thing. He hurled himself out into eternity. He, at his own hands, hurled himself out into eternity without a hope in God. Oh, Judas! Judas! The great trusted man, but now you'll go down in history as the betrayer of Jesus Christ. The best friend any person could ever have, you betrayed. God of heaven, I pray for the heart and mind of that woman and that man right now, that the enemy would take advantage of them in their older age or whatever their situation is, the medications. I don't know what the situation is. Lord, those troubles, those things that are troubling them, Lord, that he can put anger and bitterness in their heart to cause them to do the thing that is wrong and evil. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Please, Lord, deal with hearts, lives, and souls right now. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you will, everyone, if you will, come and let's seek the face of God. And if you know the enemy is working on you, working on your mind, would you ask Brother Darrell to anoint you, that the Lord will give you victory over that spirit? That is a spirit. That is a spirit. That is a spirit that is seeking to destroy you.